Hey, what a great job you did singing this morning, leading us in worship. Thank you so much for the special music that you provided this morning. Y'all sounded good, and you're looking good. So let me add my welcome to you today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If any of our children have not gone out to Children's Church, they're welcome to head out that way. And if this group doesn't liven up, I may go join them. So y'all wake up this morning. Amen? Amen. Weren't you glad that somebody said, let's go to church this morning? Amen? I'm telling you, if you find something to complain about, you would quit, right? So we're grateful this morning to be in the house of God to worship. Thinking about complaining about things, has anybody noticed the price of eggs lately? Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, are just the price of groceries in their self, you know? Man, it seems like it's costing more and more to eat, right? And I was talking with Rhonda about this and a couple of weeks ago, actually. We got in the car, and it's like, where do you want to go eat? She's like, well, I really kind of like to have Chinese. So like, okay. So we have this favorite Chinese place in Jackson. So we head out to Jackson, and I'm like, well, I guess gas prices aren't so high that we wouldn't drive all the way to Jackson just to eat a meal, right? And so when we think about the cost of what to eat, to go eat, and all those kind of things, evidently, as bad as it is, it hadn't got bad enough, right? We're still eating, and we're still going, and we're still doing, and we really hadn't slowed down too much, right? But, you know, I think about it. Sometimes we talk about being hungry. We talk about eating. We have this new term now. We're hangry. You know, we're so hungry that we're angry. So now we're hangry. And some of you will get there. If you don't understand what that means, you'll understand it before we get through here today, because you'll probably get hangry before I get through preaching. And then your stomachs will be growling and all those kind of things. And so when we think about hunger and water and food and all those kind of things, it is essential to our health, right? It is essential to our physical body that we eat, that we take in nourishment, that we drink in fluids. But just as food is the most important thing to us physically, spiritually, it's important that we have an appetite, that we have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Not just for the things of this world, not just the food and the junk food and the desserts and all those kind of things, but that we would have a desire for the things of God. Can you imagine going for a solid week without eating any food whatsoever? I know that's a stretch for some of you. Some of you are thinking, man, you know, I get through eating breakfast and I'm thinking about lunch already. You know, what are we going to do for lunch? And you get through eating lunch, and while you're cleaning up for lunch, you're thinking, I wonder what we're going to have for supper, you know? So it's not like you could even imagine what it would be like to go 7 whole days without eating food. And yet, spiritually, too often, we come to church on Sunday mornings, we come to the buffet, we gorge ourselves in this hour, and we go home. And sadly, too many never feed again. We never eat again of the things of God, and then we come back to church the next week. During the week, we don't open God's Word. We don't take in the bread of life. We don't eat. We don't drink the water from Him. We just kind of go through the week, and we go and we kind of just depend on what we got for Sunday morning to carry us through the week. Or if we're really spiritual, if we're really good Baptists, we'll come back on Wednesday nights, you know? And so we'll get that second meal kind of in the middle of the week, right? Come on now. Y'all tracking with me? And so, you know, but it's important that we have this spiritual hunger and this spiritual thirst. And so when we think about the Beatitudes here, we come to the fourth Beatitude here in Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, notice here, we've been talking about these Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. It's a lot about our attitude towards ourselves. But now, the writer Matthew and Jesus says here, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a turn in our focus from ourselves into our relationship with Him. How much do we really desire to be in right relationship with Him? That's what that term righteousness means. To hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is that you have a hunger and a thirst and a desire to be in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so how strong is that desire? Is that the thing that drives us? And so when we also look at this passage, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. He's actually writing this in the present tense. He's saying that we should have this constant hunger. We should have this constant thirst for the things of God. To be in that relationship, not to be satisfied with where we're at today, but to want to be in more of a right relationship every day. I really like this. Ken Hughes says this about this fourth beatitude. He says, the fourth beatitude is a call to pursue conformity to God's will stated in the most extreme of terms. The intensity of the expression is difficult for us to feel because if we're thirsty today, all we need to do is just turn on the tap water, right? I mean, water and food are just really kind of readily available to us, right? We don't really understand what it means to not have food or to not have water. He said, it's not a comfortable picture, though. Jesus is far from recommending this Gentile desire for spiritual nourishment, but rather a starvation for righteousness, a desperate hungering to be conformed to God's will. Let me demonstrate what I'm talking about this morning. Let me demonstrate what King. Look at this picture. You see, when we talk this morning in terms of hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God, it's hard for us to fathom what that means because food and water are so readily available to us. But if I'm in this group and I'm talking to these individuals and I tell them, hey, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. These individuals understand what hunger and thirst is about. And so it's a stretch sometimes for us to really try to comprehend the magnitude of what Jesus is really saying here in this beatitude. In Psalm 73 in verse 6, it says this, therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. You ever fixed your plate and your eyes were bigger than your stomach, right? I remember years ago, Ron and I were in a place and we're eating, and this young man that was waiting on us, he had a very heavy accent, and so we felt like, you know, he's not from here. And so I asked him, where are you from, man? And he was from one of the Czech Republics and former Soviet Union and Russia and everything, and they had immigrated here. And so we were talking to him, and I said, what's one of the biggest differences here and there? And he looked at our plate, he said, that. He said, we never have that much food. I mean, listen, we're living in the land of plenty, right? Yeah. Right? We're living in the land of plenty. I mean, we go to buffets, right? You know what buffet stands for? B-U-F-F-E. Big, ugly, fat folks eating together. That's what that means. If you ever wondered, that's what it means, okay? And that's what we are. Man, we just a bunch of ugly folks just gorging together, right? We have no concept what it means to hunger or to really thirst. You know, I hear, we say it all the time. They're right, man, I'm starving to death. You just ate 30 minutes ago, you know? Our son got out of school one day, and we had hamburger helper, and we ate, and as soon as we ate, we left, and we were going down to another town, to a funeral home to visit, and it was like maybe an hour drive down there, and so we got down there, and we're like making the block to park, and my son goes, are we going to eat dinner before we go in or after? I said, what do you mean?
son, I said, we just had dinner. He said, no, we didn't. I said, son, we just had Hamburger Helper before we left the house. He said, yeah, that was Hamburger Helper. It was to help you get to dinner, you know? That's the culture that we've grown up in, right? We have no idea what it means to really hunger and thirst. And so let's think about this morning. Look at this passage here. It is this morning that we have to concern ourselves with what is it that we're hungry for? What is it that we're thirsting for? And listen, I remember as a kid when I grew up, I breathed, eat, and slept baseball. That was my greatest desire. I couldn't get enough of it. It was the thing I read about. It was the thing I talked about. It was the thing I dreamed about. It was the thing I participated in constantly. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with having ambitions and desires. But what is it that you're most hungry for? What is it that you're most thirsty for? Think about Scripture in Isaiah chapter 14. The Bible talks about Lucifer, and Lucifer was power hungry. He wasn't satisfied with being the best angel, right, you know, at the top of all the other angels. He wanted to be even higher than God. He was power hungry. You know, there's a lot of people today that are power hungry. It's all about trying to overcome the person ahead of them. They're, you know, it's like step on each other, claw over each other, whatever it takes to get to the top of the heap, right? King of the mountain, right? That's the American way, right? So a lot of people have this power. They're power hungry. And then you read over in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He put out this edict in the land. He said, he built this big statue of himself, and he ordered that when all the musical instruments would be played, that everybody would bow and worship him, right? He wanted all the praise. There's a lot of people today that are praise hungry. Yeah, man, they're looking for fame, they're looking for adulation, they're looking for adoration and all these kinds of things. They want people to heap praise on. Man, we live for an attaboy, right? Come on. We want somebody to pat us on the back, make us feel good, right? That's what gets us motivated. Some folks, like the rich young ruler, we're possession hungry. It's all about what we can get. We live in this motto, he who dies with the most toys. No. He who dies with the most toys dies. Yeah. We got it wrong, though, don't we? The he who dies with the most toys wins. That's what we think. But the reality is he dies, and he don't take any of it with him. But there's people that are power hungry. There's people that are praise hungry. There's people that are possession hungry. Here's what the prophet Amos said. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, notice this. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. He said, I'm going to put you in a place where you're going to hunger and you are going to thirst. He says, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. He says, there's going to come a day when the word of God is going to cease. And we know that today, being the fact that Malachi, man, when you look in the Old Testament, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and the last words of the Old Testament are a curse. I mean, it ends dark. And then for several hundred years, there's not a word from God, and the people are living in a spiritual famine. And I find many today who are struggling in that same famine. See, my prayer this morning is not that you hear the word of God preached, but that you hear a word from God. When's the last time you heard from God? When's the last time you got along with God? And you may not have heard his audible voice, but you sense very strongly God speaking into your heart, into your spirit. For some of you, it's been a long, long time. For some of you, you heard God speaking to your heart and into your life, and the Holy Spirit did what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, and then the Holy Spirit calls us to salvation. And you were convicted of your sin, you were called into salvation, you got up from where you're at, you made your way down this aisle, you came and told a preacher one day that you had come to a point, place in your life where you were giving up all that you understood about yourself to all that you understood about Christ Jesus, and you asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart, be the Lord and Savior of your life. You got baptized, you went home, and for some of you, you hadn't heard from God since. You thought, well, I got my fill. I ate of the bread of life. And now I'm good, you know? Now listen, this says that we need to constantly feed on the things of God. Check this out. It's kind of written in the negative sense. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 24, it says this. Woe to you who are full. Look at that. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. There's some folks today, well, you know what? I'm just of the spiritual elite. And I'm so full of the Lord. And you're so satisfied with where you're at in your relationship with God. And there's no room for God to do anything fresh in your life. And the Bible warns us. If we think we've reached some pinnacle, some spiritual pinnacle, and we don't want anymore, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. We need to constantly want more of God. Paul says in Ephesians, he says that God's able to do all that we could ever ask, more than we could ever even imagine. The moment you think that you've got all of God that you can take, I want you to know there's so much more of God that you need. To never be satisfied, to constantly hunger, to constantly thirst. Again, in John chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus says this. He says, do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on you. So to hunger for the things of God. I want to make this clear. Make this real clear. Listen, food and water are necessities, right? We understand, right? Food and water are necessities for our life. And a hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God is a necessity for our spiritual life. Again, he says, blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You may be like me. I've never had a problem with hunger. I'm hungry right now. You know? I don't have a problem being hungry. You know, I try to cut back on what I eat, and my kids make fun of me all the time when they were at home, because I'd be like, I'm watching what I eat. I'm going to kind of cut back what I eat. I'm going to eat smaller portion sizes, you know. And so I'd fix this little bitty plate, and I'd get through eating. And then while I was helping clean up the kitchen, part of cleaning up the kitchen is cleaning out the pans, right? And my son's like, Dad, you realize just because you don't put it on the plate and you eat it, it still counts, right? But the problem is, it's not that we have a problem with hunger. It's what are we hungering for? And it's got to be more than just an hour on Sunday morning. I love how the psalmist describes in Psalms 42 and verse 1. Look at this passage. He speaks of how the deer pants for the water. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. That panting, it's that desperation for water. And then look in Psalm 63 and verse 1. He says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry, thirsty land where there is no water. He says, it's early in the morning that I seek for you. You ever wake up in the morning hungry? Can't wait for breakfast? And you realize you've been on a fast. You've been on an 8-hour, maybe 10-hour fast. That's why they call it breakfast. We're breaking the fast. That's the first meal of the day, right? And so when you wake up in the morning, your desire is to break that fast, to have some food. And that's what he's saying here, really, in Psalms. He said, oh, Lord, you are my God, and I will seek you early. Man, I want to break that fast. I want to get out of that spiritual waste, and I want to feed on you. Now, this is not part of the natural man's response to life, okay? The natural man says, I need food and I need water. This is not something that the natural man desires. This is a craving from the spiritual man. This comes from within, in the soul and in the spirit of man. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Apart from Christ, we really don't understand what this really means. So, maybe this morning you're thinking, I'm trying to connect some dots here, but I'm really kind of struggling. But I know this. I know in my life there's a void. And I've been trying to fill that void with a new job and a new career and an educational degree and possessions and relationships. And it all keeps being a void. And we're trying to fill a spiritual void through material matter. And it can only be filled with the things of God. It's a spiritual need that you have. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. It's not something we would do on our own. It's only when the Holy Spirit prompts us. It's only when the Holy Spirit gives us that sense of emptiness. It's only when the Holy Spirit gives us that sense of being a void and something missing in our life that we begin to ask and to seek. And God says, seek me while I may be found, right? And He opens Himself up to us. So let me ask you again. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for the righteousness of God? Is your greatest desire, is your greatest concern this morning for the things of God? Listen, the righteousness of God demands that we surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm not talking about are you religious. I'm not talking about are you crazy about things at church, all those kinds of things. I'm talking about your relationship with God. I'm talking about what's really real, okay? None of this stuff is going to matter when we stand before God. Righteousness is not about the church you went to or, you know, anything like that. Righteousness of God is about your own personal relationship with God. And is that right? Matthew 5 and verse 16, go down just a couple passages there, says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, it's got to be beyond the traditions of men. It's got to be beyond all the legalism. The righteousness of God is a personal relationship with Him. In fact, as we go through this Sermon on the Mount, we get later down in chapter 5 here, Jesus is going to say, well, you've heard it said, but I say. There's a lot of things that we say in church, and God's like, that's not what I mean at all. You know? Some of you this morning in your small group time, you were talking about the fact that Jesus is the living water, right? Some of you studied that this morning. Jesus is the living water. Talking about how the water was poured there in the temple and everything. And He says, I am the living water. I am the light, right? And so we look around sometimes and we look at things and we go, oh, that's the water and that's light. And He's like, no, that ain't it. I am. Our focus has got to be on Him and our relationship with Him. Not material things of this world. And so, again, Matthew chapter 7, we're going to get into this. He warns them again. So how do you have this hunger and this thirst for the things of God? See, how do you know when you're hungry and thirsty for the things of God? Well, first of all, there's this increasing desire to be in God's Word. If in your heart you think, man, I need to read my Bible more. And you're reading and you're studying and you have a desire to read more and more and more, then that's probably a pretty good indication. Hey, I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for the things of God. Now, if you can take your Bible and you can lay it down and you can put it aside and you don't ever pick it up, you don't ever read it, you don't ever touch it, you don't ever think about it, you get ready to go to church on Sunday morning, chances are you're in a spiritual famine. Maybe you come to church and you hear other people pray, but you never spend any time just talking to God. And just getting alone and talking with God. There's this desire that, to hear from God and to talk to God and to be in this conversation with God today. And then number two, if there's this increasing love for the things of God and a growing hatred for the things of the world. That is, that we start loving the things that God loves and hating the things that God hates. Man, I know when I became a child of God and started really following Christ and allowing Him to be the Lord of my life, there were some things that I kind of liked. And I learned, you know what, God's not really cool about that. He don't necessarily like that. And all of a sudden, some of those things that I really liked, I didn't like them anymore. And some of the things that I really wasn't crazy about, I started wanting to do more of because those were the things where God was leading me. And so if we have an increasing desire to be about God's kingdom work and being in right relationship with God, that's a good sign. If there's this growing longing to do God's will, and I don't care what else happens, I just want to do God's will. If there's this growing desire to be in God's will, that's a pretty good indication then that you have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Okay? But then there's this blessing. God says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they, did you see that? For they shall be filled. I love that. That's where you really find fulfillment. Now, some feel that this is one of the key beatitudes for the sense and the practice that it kind of leads into all the rest. Unless we hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, we shall never know the fullness of all the blessings that God is offering to us. All that God makes available to us. Listen, God is a fountain of blessings. I've heard my father-in-law tell this story many times of a man who dreamed that he died and went to heaven. And they were escorting him down the Golden Avenue, and he was walking through the buildings, and they had all these doors that were locked. And he said, what are all these doors that are locked? Why can't we go in there? And God said, well, that's where all the blessings are that people never received. They never asked for. They never took advantage of. Listen, man, God has more blessings for us than you could ever imagine. And when we hunger and thirst after His righteousness, the Bible says that we shall be blessed and we shall be filled. We shall be satisfied. It speaks of this infinite fullness that God gives us. Now, there's some things that just don't satisfy, right? I told you a while ago, Ron and I, we like this one particular Chinese place we go to eat. You know one thing about Chinese food? I love this about Chinese food. You can eat Chinese food 30 minutes later and you're hungry again, right? Right? I mean, about 30 minutes and that's it. You're hungry for it again. It satisfies you in the moment, but man, just as quick as you eat it, it leaves you, you know? And so you're just never really satisfied. Not so with the things of God. Man, when we take in the nourishment of God, when we feed on the things of God, when we drink in the things of God, we are satisfied. God satisfies us. Man, His grace is filling. Man, I know today there's some folks, you're struggling. You're struggling to forgive yourself. You're struggling to try to make right all your wrongs. And I want to tell you this morning, there's a grace of God that He wants to offer you that will satisfy that, that'll take all of that away. And God wants you to know He's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Your past is in your past, okay? God wants you to know that you're loved and you're forgiven today. That's filling, right? That's satisfying. We don't have to come back every day and beg and plead. I heard about a man who went to the preacher one day. He was just really struggling with this issue in his life. And the preacher asked him, he said, well, have you asked God to forgive you? He said, oh, I've asked God to forgive me 1,000 times. And the preacher said, that's the problem. He said, ask God to forgive you once and then thank God that He has 999 times. Praise God. That's filling. That's satisfying. When we hunger and thirst, God's grace. And peace. Man, God gives us a peace. Man, when we're in right relationship with God, we experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. And everybody wants peace in their life, right? Come on. I'm not the only one here, right? We all want peace in our life, right? Man, we all want just some calm, some peace, some solitude. We just want to know that that everything's going to be okay, right? And it's only in relationship with God that we can have that kind of peace. He gives us this glory. I mean, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we are being transformed from glory to glory. See, there's a part of us that's missing. God created us in His image, right? We understand that, right? God created man in His own image. But because we sin, we've fallen short of the glory of God, right? We fell short of the image that God created us to be in. But when we come in right relationship with God, He begins to do a work of transformation in us, and He begins to transform us from glory to glory. And all of a sudden, that part that's empty, that part that we're missing, that part of us that we're trying to find, all of a sudden we find ourselves. We find that part that God wanted us to be in the first place that we've lost because of sin in our life. God begins to redeem that. God begins to restore that. And we begin to find satisfaction with who we are. There's a lot of folks today who aren't satisfied with who they are because they're missing part of who they are, because they're missing part of God, the part that God created them to be. And when we come back in right relationship with God, all of that is restored in a miraculous way. Amen? Hey, here's what the psalmist says again in Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 9 says, He satisfies the longing soul, and He fills the humble with goodness. I love that. Luke 1, verse 53 says it this way. It says, He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. Have you ever noticed when you eat right, you feel right? Come on. Right? When we eat right, we feel right. I mean, you can fill up on junk food, but man, when you eat junk food, your body's sluggish, your blood sugar goes up, you get lethargic, you're not at your best. You know, that's why when you go to lunch every day at work and you eat all that bad food and you come back to work and you're like, you know, 2 o'clock and you're like, man, I need to keep my eyes open, you know, because you didn't eat right, you know, all those kind of things. But man, when we eat right, when we eat healthy, when we put good food in our body is nourished, our body is equipped, and we're ready for the work, right? We're alert, our minds are sharp, everything's working right, right? I remember when I was in school, we had this sign up in the cafeteria of our school, Chris. It said, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. There's a lot of truth to that, right? You are what you eat. You eat good food, you're going to be healthy. Your mind's going to be alert, sharp, all those kind of things. You eat bad food, you're going to be bad. You know, your body's going to pay for it and all those kind of things. And then I got to looking at what we were eating at our lunch. And I thought, well, that explains a lot. We are what we're eating, you know. I mean, some of that stuff was, kind of questionable, you know. They didn't have all the good food that they had over there at Porsche Chapel. But I've eaten over there. But listen, so it is. It is so much true. And it's especially true in our spiritual life. You are what you eat. And when you take God's word and you have a hunger and a thirst for His righteousness, you shall be satisfied. You'll never find that type of satisfaction feeding on the things of this world. You'll never find that kind of satisfaction when you're hungry for power or possessions or praise. You only find satisfaction when you hunger after the things of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 is my daughter's favorite verse. It says, But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. All the things that you think are going to satisfy you that don't, when you seek after His righteousness, He says, I'll satisfy you. And by the way, I'll throw in all these other things. I'll heap up all these other praises and all these other things for you. But seek first the kingdom of God. There was a song that sung years ago. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up until it will hold no more. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it up. And that's my heart's desire this morning. Lord, fill my cup. Feed me, Lord, till I hunger no more. God, all I want is to be in right relationship with you. God, my satisfaction can only be found in you alone. Is that your heart's desire this morning? Let's pray today. Would you bow with me?
with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. This morning, is there a deep hunger and thirst for God and His righteousness? Is there an emptiness in your life this morning? You thought when you got that new job, that was going to be it. Or you thought when you got that promotion, that was going to be it. Or you thought whenever you got the kids out of the house, that was going to be it. Or you thought, hey, once I get married, I'll just kind of find the rest of me and things will be good. Or hey, when I graduate, that'll be it. And yet there's still this void there this morning. This morning, God offers you. He offers you the bread of life. The living water this morning to come and to eat and to drink and be satisfied, to find fulfillment in Him and Him alone. Would you come to Him this morning? Father God, today we come and we humble ourselves before You. God, we confess this morning. God, there is this head knowledge that we need You. And You're old. God, we confess that, God, we're kind of like junk food junkies. God, we want to feed on the things of this world. God, then we find that there's this lack of spiritual satisfaction. God, there's this void in our life. God, there's still this lingering hunger in our souls. And so, God, this morning we come and we confess. And we ask You, Father, this morning to forgive us. We ask You, Father, to fill us today. God, let us feed at Your table. God, let us drink from Your cup today. God, may our souls be satisfied. God, I pray for individuals this morning, God, who have never trusted You as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray today they would come and feed and drink. God, maybe even for some of us who are Your children, God, we've not been eating right. God, give us the discipline today, God, to feed on Your Word, to desire to spend time with You. Father, this morning, I'll be sure to give You all the praise and glory and honor. We love You, Father, and we ask You all this in Christ's name. Hey, listen, if you're watching online today, listening on the radio today, God's spoken into your heart, we'd love to hear from you this morning. You can message us, you can text us, you can call us in the church office. We'd love to be able to correspond with you and let you help you in your walk with Christ and in your relationship. This morning, right here in this congregation, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come this morning. Just to step out and say, come and say, Pastor, today I've trusted Christ for the first time in my life. Why is that important? Well, the Bible says if we'll confess Him before men, then He'll confess us before His Father, which is in heaven. And also, we just want to be able to celebrate with you. We want to help you in that new walk and to take that next step and to grow. And so this morning, we invite you to come. Maybe your church membership is somewhere else, and we'd love to have you come be a part of here. Hey, we want to help you in your walk with Christ more than anything. And so this morning, in this time, we give you that invitation. This morning, we're going to stand and sing in this moment. Just hearts doing business with God. You and God taking care of us this morning to hunger and thirst for Him and Him alone. Would you stand with us this morning? Brother Mike, with us.
Speak to my heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise God this morning. Thank you for being here. I pray this morning, as you go through the week, that God will just be on your heart and your mind. That you'll take those moments to feed on His Word, spend time with Him, to experience Him in His presence all through the week this week. And that you'll experience a satisfaction that can only be found feeding, thirsting on the things of God. Hey, listen, tonight, 5 o'clock, we have some small groups that meet here around in the building. We have a small group that meets with Brother Chris on Heroes of the Faith. And so it's a great study. So if you want to be encouraged in faith, come and be a part of that time. Billy and Sandy Bradford teach a class on joy, indescribable joy. So if you want to come and be a part of that. And we all need some joy in our life, right?
Yeah.
A couple of you don't know it, but you do. Come be a part of that. And then I'll lead a group so that the next generation will know. We talk about some dynamics and some demographics about millennials and Gen Zs and the difference there in those generations and how we can communicate and how we can share the gospel so that the next generation will be able to take the gospel to their peers as well. And so be back tonight, 5 o'clock in one of the small group times. I know that God bless you richly. Hey, listen, again, it's been good to be here in the house of the Lord. Well, thank you for leading us in worship this morning, Mike.
Thank you to all the team. Yeah.
Good, man. Let's sing this morning.
All right. This is the name.